I think as a local church, it's probably true of every season in every church, we have to know how to manage change. Because I think change is, you know, what does the adage say? Change is here to stay. And I think that's true for all of us. I've spoken elements of what I want to share with you tonight, also with the team from time to time, but I kind of want to put it together and give you some handles, because I think people get, I have watched more people get lost in church through change and through confusion around change than any other thing. When people kind of lose sight of stuff, they just kind of drift out and drift back and disappear because they don't really know what's going on and they are confused. And generally, big knocks, big seasons of struggle don't knock people out the game. It's surprising to me. But people can go through the most awful things in their lives and they're fine. But come a little change, a little thing, a little confusion, and suddenly they get lost. And I want to help you tonight navigate the seasons of change in this church. Am I talking to you tonight as if there's a whole bunch of change about to happen? That's true always. So I'm not some prophet telling you, you know, change is happening. No, I'm here to tell you that change is part of our journey. And this church, like every church, needs to embrace the seasons of God that you're in. And part of this season that you're in is God wants to grow you, expand you. He wants to increase your footprint, increase your influence in this community that you're in. So get ready for that. But I do want to help you navigate change in your life. I've experienced many challenging moments in my life of change. And when God wants me in a new space, and isn't it true often that when God wants us from this space to another space, we often want to hold on to this space, but actually God can never give us the new thing until we let go of the thing we have. And the problem is not so much the thing we have or the thing we need to move into. It's the transition between letting go of what we have and then getting a hold of the thing that we need to be in. Where do we get lost? Here. In between. So it's not the seasons that we struggle with so much. It's the in-between space between the seasons that make us battle a lot, if that makes sense. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. I love the story of Abram. And it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. 75 years old. The scripture just skips over these little kind of punches. I think to myself, up and off he went, and he hardly skipped a beat. God said, go, he goes. Now, a little bit of context here. He has a wife. Think of Sarah. 75 years of stuff. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, I moved. I moved into the city a couple of years ago. And we are not hoarders. My wife and I, we clean out stuff a lot. So, I mean, stuff I haven't worn for a couple of weeks just gets given away. My favorite T-shirts, we're gone. It just goes. So we're not those people that have a lot of stuff. But when we moved, I had a skip out sitting out in the yard. A 6 cubic meter skip filled to the brim with stuff we needed to throw away. I was shattered. I thought, how can there be so much stuff we need to throw away? We'd lived there for about, I don't know, 12, 15 years in this home. And it's amazing what you accumulate in 15 years. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Your bedrooms are stacked high with books and rubbish. Stop it. Clean it up. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Do what you got to do. But it's true of all of us. We got too much stuff. And here's Sarah, and the scripture says the whole household moved. The whole household ups and offs into a new space. I think it's true for all of us that at times we have to move. God requires us to move from one space to another, and we need to learn how to let go of the one to move into the other. I live in a house that has about, I think it's about 8 rooms in our house. Now, don't worry, it's not 8 bedrooms. It's about 8 rooms. You know, 2 or 3 bedrooms, a couple of bathrooms, a lounge, a dining room, a kitchen. So these are all rooms. And they're all interconnected around one central thing in the middle called the passage. Right? Now the passage, we don't count as a room. It's not a room. The passage is kind of the place that connects everything together. And the problem often for us is that we, God says, I want to move you into a new room. For every time you have to move into a new room, there's a passage that you've got to get into. And the darkest place in your house is the passage. It's true for all passages. And this idea of interconnected passages, when people move out of one space and there's a disaffection, there is a struggle, a frustration, a boredom, an issue suddenly sets in the passages of life. And people get lost. I have watched more people get lost in passages than any other transition and process in people's lives. They step out of one thing and get lost. Why? We can't handle change. We lose our way. The darkness of the transition between one and the other makes us confused. So we think God has left us and stuff's happened to us and we can't transition into the new. So I want to help you. I'm a practical preacher. I want to help you. The best way I can think, before GPS, hey, we were in trouble, all of us in this room. I mean, I traveled quite a bit internationally, and I remember going onto the Périphérique in Paris. If you've ever been on that strange freeway, it goes all the way around Paris. Well, I've been all the way around once. And only on my second way around did I find the right way off. Now, the reason for that basically is that the French have this strange idea of one turn off taking into a parallel freeway. And once you're in that parallel, there is a range of about 20 turnoffs you can take. But you've got to be in the parallel freeway to get any of those 20. Now, if you're not a Frenchman like me, you can't read those 20 names in enough time to be able to get off and then take the turnoff you want. It's just not possible. Thank God for GPSs. I remember my son. I made my son cry as a young boy. You know, he's sitting there with a map on his lap. I said, turn it around, boy. It's upside down. No wonder we're not getting anywhere. And Dad. And then eventually he throws the map back to his mom. And it was a disaster. We need some, in the darkness, in the change of our life, we need some GPS coordinates. We need some things that anchor us. We need to know that we're not lost. And I want to help you not be lost. I want to help you transition into the change that God is bringing to the life of every church and this one. And if you have a leadership team that I know quite well, change is definitely here to stay. God is moving you forward. He's taking you, transitioning you all the time into things. And it would be very helpful to you if you knew that you're not lost. You're not some number in a seat and think, oh, I'm getting lost. And then people drift, you know, from the front row to the middle row to the back row and then out the door. We don't want that. And God to help you in your journey of transitions, both personally and as a local church. So let me help you. We need some coordinates. So the first coordinate I can give you tonight is we need prophetic eyes. We need prophetic eyes. You need to see on into the future. Now, you may not be living in the future, but you need to see it. This is the deal. You move from one space to another space into the passage where it gets dark. And if you lose sight spiritually of where it is that you need to go, you get lost. You need to see stuff prophetically. I don't know whether this has ever happened to you. It's happened to me a couple of times. I go to a, I'm doing a wedding, or I'm going to a wedding, and I'm all dressed up, suit, you know, nice. And then on the way, I need some mints or something. And in I go to the local service station, and I pop in, and I stand in. And you know what? It's a funny thing. As you walk up to that counter buying your chewing gum or mints, you feel the need to tell somebody, you know, I'm going to a wedding. I do. I'm a little insecure that way. I think I've got to tell people why I'm dressed this way. You know, this is not my normal attire. I'm going to a wedding. Because I'm not dressed appropriately for the convenience store. It's like I don't fit. So I've got to tell somebody, this is not where I'm meant to be. I'm meant to be there. This is the deal about having prophetic eyes. You need to dress for a future you're not yet in. You need to let God dress you. Let God work with you for a season that's still coming. You can't just dress for now. You can't just think about today. You've got to say there's something else He's moving me into, and I have to allow God to dress me for that future. Being full of faith. Hebrews 11, 8 and 9 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise. As in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Being dressed for a season that you're not yet in. Moving out into a space that is awkward, that is dark. What is this going to land? Where is this going to end? But you know God's calling you to change, so you move into that space, but you have eyes to see beyond the darkness. One of the things I love about Greg, this is a pretty dark passage, but he can look through the passage. He can see there's a plan. He can see that God has a purpose for His church. Otherwise, you get lost in the passage. You have to look through the passage. You have to live, you have to dress for another season. It's the only way to embrace change. When our kids grow up, I think it's absolutely critical that we do this with our children. We have to see through their now struggles to see what they can become. You can't just be smacking them around for the now. It's all sort you out. No, no. You've got to look through the now. You've got to look through the, you know, the dirty washing that never quite made it to the laundry basket, but all landed on its way. You know, the 16-year-old boy. You know that happens? No, well, he tried. Right? And then mom has to do her thing, or dad has to do his thing. I have an entrepreneur as a son, a businesswoman for a daughter, and my youngest daughter is an actress. It can't get any more different, the three of them. But you have to look through. You have to future-proof your eyes with your children. You've got to see through the now and the struggle of now into what it is God is making out of them. Even when it comes to your discipline, I'm talking a bit to parents now, but just forgive me for a second. I know you're not all parents. We so often discipline the now because we can't see the future. We lose sight of what the future is. So we think a belly ring in your daughter is from the devil. And you've got to sort that out. Or a tattoo on an ankle. Oh, it's the end of the world. No, it's not the end of the world. Because if you look through the challenges, now I'm not saying I approve of a belly ring or a tattoo. The point is that we have to look through things. We have to see that what's life and death to our children? What's worth making? You know, your children have much more energy to fight you than you have to fight them. They'll win. I can tell you that right now. So you have to say, what fights am I going to pick? And I'm here to tell you, you should only pick life and death fights. And a belly ring is not a life and death issue. Should give no young person a carte blanche to have a belly ring now, but I'm just saying, it's not a life and death issue. So don't make it one. Look through the now. Look through the issues of today and see with future eyes. It's a remarkable part of David's story as he faces Goliath. And I think we often miss it. In 1 Samuel 17:34, it says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, he took a lamb from the flock and took a lamb from the flock.'" And that's the end of the verse, 34. So you say, well, that's an odd thing to repeat. It is rather. But the thing that strikes me is, "I used to keep sheep." What do you mean, used to? You kept sheep that morning. I'm just saying. When the day was over and Goliath was slain, where was he going? Back to keeping sheep. Oh, I used to keep sheep. See, David got something in this moment, that he was no longer a shepherd. I'm almost willing to bet those sheep knew he wasn't as committed to him after this. Because something shifted in his heart. He moved from being a shepherd to being a king in waiting. He moved into a passage. He began to see with eyes, and you can see it in his language. He says, "It's all I used to. That's what I used to do." It's not what he used to do. It's what he did. But his heart had shifted. Something changed in him. This is what happens when we have prophetic view of our lives. We begin to dress for a future season. We begin to look into that season and live in a future space. The second GPS I want to help you with is you have to find an anchored center to your life. You have to anchor. When we wobble in the middle, you know, it's like that tire, you know, on your car. You know, it drops some of those weights and you can feel it in the steering wheel. You need to take it off and get it sorted and get the balance back. I watch people wobble. And I want to tell you there's an immediate reason why people wobble. Because at the center, they're not balanced. At the center, at the core of their life, the balance is not there. That's why they wobble. So it manifests in all sorts of things. Abuses of things and substance and struggle and anger and all sorts of things. Because at the core of their life, there's no balance. James 1:8 says that he's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. A man that can't. It's a double-minded thing going on, and there's an instability that happens to every part of such a person's life. When change overwhelms us, we anchor into the wrong things, and we begin to resist change in our lives. Your anchor has to be Christ. You see, if for a GPS to really work, it's like this morning I've stuck a couple of lights up for you. To say, hey, this is how God speaks to us. You have confidence as you look down the line of lights. GPS is a similar idea. Because if you don't have a handle on where you are, it can't tell you where you need to go. You know that little blue dot on your phone? So this is where you are. Now, from where you are, you can get some idea of where it is that you need to go. But if you don't know where you are, we have a problem. Anchoring into Christ roots you into where you are. It roots you into identity, which means now you can get direction once you're rooted. We have to anchor into the unchanging one. Ephesians 3:17 says, "So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love," have to root into Christ. That's the whole point of GPS, that you have to work from a fixed point. You'll never know where you're going if you don't know where you are. If God's got you in the passage, if you're about to embrace change in your life, and you're going through that awful dark place thinking, what am I going to do? Anchor into Christ. You'll never find out where you need to go until you anchor into the point of Christ. Number three, I'm giving you some GPS coordinates. The promise of better things. My third coordinate, the promise of better things. Isaiah 66:9 says, shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says the Lord? There comes a point in the process of birthing where you can't turn it around. If you do, it says, oh, we're not having the baby. I'm about to be a grandpa in about 3 weeks' time. Yeah. It's a big deal. And there comes a point in that whole thing when you can't shut it down. It's happening. Right? And if you want to shut it down, then we have a problem. We don't have life anymore if you want to shut it down. That's often the problem when it comes to birthing things. We have to look through the pain to see the promise. If you don't look through the pain, I often say, you know, why would woman give birth to children? I don't understand it. It's something surely you would only ever do once. Why would you do it a second time? I'll tell you why. It's called baby. That's why. Because in the pain is a promise. And in the promise, you look through the pain and see the promise. That's why there are more than one child in families. Because of the promise. People tell me that there are two different kinds of pain. That's some of the worst pain you can experience. One is childbirth, and the other is kidney stones. I'm thankful I've never experienced either. Now, kidney stones. Let's talk about that. I went in to see a man in hospital, a friend of mine, who'd gone in and he'd had a whole bunch of kidney stones. And I walk in and he proudly pulls off his little shelf, a little bottle, and he rattles it. See all these stones, he says. He says, no, this is, oh, it was painful. Oh, it was terrible, he tells me. I said, I'm thankful that I've never had to go through that. See, the problem with kidney stones is a lot of pain. For what? For what? That? If you don't see the purpose and plan of God through the struggle of your life and through the struggle of change, what ends up happening is all you feel is the pain. And you give birth to nothing. It makes no sense. I remember as a young boy, I sat under the front row of the church and my dad was arguing with two old ladies about the organ. Who my dad wanted to remove the organ and put in a piano. And it was a big deal. Their father had given it as a gift to the church and that was a whole story. And man, it was like their whole life was tied to the organ. And they were arguing with them, they were angry, they were upset. In the end, stroke of genius, my dad said to them, you can have it. Just take it. Take it home. It was the compromise decision. Well, once they started moving, they found it was completely bored out with wood borer and it fell apart into a heap of ashes. We become vested into things. We become tied into things. And the only thing we give birth to is pain. Nothing. And so many people struggle with change because they can't see anything. They can't actually anchor into the promise of better things. They can't see it. And because they can't see it, the passage becomes dark and it's difficult to find their way, and all they give birth to is kidney stones. When my son, the very first, now this is a long, long time ago. He's just turned 31. We're turning 31. Now, when he was in Karen's womb, we had scans done. Now, 31 years ago, it's not what you see today. You know, the nice little baby sucking a thumb and all that stuff. No. This was a bird's nest of nothing back then. like a black and white something. I, to be honest, it just looks like a bird's nest to me when I looked at it. And oh, here's the head. I said, I can't see any head. And so you got this thing, this picture, that represents a child. There's some people sitting in this room, you lost sight of the ultrasound. Can't see it anymore. So all you got left is pain. You need to get a vision again. You need to see again. You need to get a view of the ultrasound again. And see what God has in mind for his church. Because when your parking goes, and some unbelieving crook is parked in your parking bay to come and receive Jesus in New Day, it's pain. You know, I had to walk 300 meters to church this morning. And all we live with is pain. I'm done. If they can't figure this thing out, I'm going to another church where I can park 50 meters from the door. And when I come into church, my seat is my seat and I'm in it. Well, God bless you. You can't see the promise of anything. And all you're left with is a struggle and battle of your own life. And to be honest, it's not much. Do you really want to go through all of that just for that? Get a view again. Get sight again of the plan and the purpose of God for his church. So it doesn't matter whether you've got to walk a kilometer. I remember once we did a celebration in our building down in Hillcrest, a city celebration together with Dudley. And I arrived about an hour early for the meeting. It's not like your elders here who arrive like with 5 minutes to go. No, I'm just saying. Okay, look, that was a throwaway comment. Tongue in cheek. So I arrived about an hour early, and as I come through Hillcrest, which is 4.5 kilometers to go to the building, I begin to see people pulling off to the side of the road, parking. I'm thinking, what's going on? People were walking 4 kilometers to get to church. Now, 4K is a long way. And then it started raining. And all the way down in Inanda Road, which is the road towards, there were cars just everywhere. We had 5,000 people in. We had to shut the gates. We had the fire marshal of the city of Durban in our church. And he was fuming and having cadenzas and problems. It's too many people. We will not be able to evacuate them. There were people everywhere, on the aisles, in between the aisles, everywhere. Isn't that a great problem? 4Ks. You could be in for 4 kilometers. Parking up at, what's the mall called up top there? Greenstein. How's that? Walk to church. Good exercise. It's worse going back. You think, oh, Pete, that'll never happen. Who says? Who says God hasn't got a plan? And so you have to walk 300 meters because the parking lot's full and you've got to park down the street. So what? You have to see the ultrasound, see the promise of God, of what he's saying to his church, and live in the promise, don't live in the pain. GPS, number 4, live by the word. Live by the word. I spoke a little bit about the word this morning, so I don't want to say too much. But in seasons of transition, we have to stabilize ourselves into the word of God. You know, a pilot, when he learns to fly, he kind of gets in a small plane and does his thing. And one of the final things that you've got to do is you've got to become instrumentized. Why? Because we can't trust ourselves, what we feel. It's a problem. If you can't see stuff, let's say you're landing a plane in a fog. I have a morbid kind of sense of humor, I suppose, because I like watching aircraft investigations. And I fly a lot. So, I mean, it doesn't really make sense. So I watched this one story where a plane took off, did its thing, and flew along, and the pilot felt he couldn't trust the instruments, and he inverted the plane upside down, and he started to climb. And he dived the plane straight into the ground and killed everybody, including himself. You cannot always trust your feelings. So I'm disorientated. What's going on? Trust the Word. Be instrumentized. Lean back into what the Word says, because you can't always trust. I feel this. I'm a little angry. I'm a little upset. Can't trust it. I don't feel in love with her anymore. Trust the Word. The Word says love her. Then love her. Get on with it. Don't trust what you feel. Do what the Word says. Anchor yourself into the Word. I read the scripture, Psalm 119, verse 105 this morning. That your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We can only trust the Word. My last point, my last GPS coordinate tonight for you. And the guys is not going to like this. But act like a midwife. Now, we have an oversupply of people in pain in the church. It's an oversupply. They're always angry at something, unhappy with something, complaining about something. Wouldn't you rather those people that are new to the church walk into a midwife rather than a person who's in pain? Let me explain what I mean. We had a midwife for the birth of my son 31 years ago. Now, you know, back then, hey, a la naturelle, it had to all happen normally and quietly. And just, so we call her when the waters broke. Sorry to be graphic, but it happened at around 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and no, 1 o'clock in the morning. So she says, relax. I'm not relaxed. The bag's packed. I'm at the door. I've got the car key in my hand. I'm ready to go. She says, relax. She arrived at 4:30. How are things going? I said, not well. Why are you so late? And then she comes and she says, no, everything's fine. Looks says, no, I want to go to the hospital. She says, no, it's gonna. Did you know when he was born? 12:30. Just past lunch. And do you know why she was relaxed? She'd seen it all before. She knew. Wouldn't it be great if we had more midwives in the church? She says, relax. Seen it all before. Relax. God's got a plan. It's okay. You want to do this? Oh, that's all right. I've seen that before. We can calm. We can help one another. We need more midwives in the church who are able to connect with people that come into the life of the church who may not understand what's going on. But instead of running into a person in pain in the parking lot, complaining about stuff, wouldn't it be great if they ran into a midwife that says, you've come to a great house. This is the right place. Settling people down. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Seasons and times for everything. Be a person that reads the seasons and times for everything. So this is my deal tonight. Change is here to stay. Some of you are walking through it in your personal lives, your corporate lives, your business lives, and church life. It's here to stay. And I have seen more people lost in the darkness of the passage than any other thing. Any other thing. And I do not want anyone in this room to get lost. So, hang with the midwives. Live in the Word that He has already spoken to you. Live with prophetic eyes that see the plan and purpose of God. Anchor into Christ on all things. Become Word dependent instrumentized so that you're not dependent on your own feelings. That your anger does not drive you. That your feelings of, I've been robbed of something. Oh, I don't take that away from me. No, I anchor into Christ so that I don't feel, my feelings don't get in the way. I'm instrumentized, I'm connected to the scriptures and the word, and they settle me. Change is here. God wants to use you. That means change is here. And if things change, what are you going to do? You see, God wants us to throw open our arms and says, everyone who is thirsty, come. Come. Come to the fountain. Come to the water. Come. Everyone. They may not understand everything, but it doesn't matter because we've got a church full of midwives who understand, who know the seasons of God, who know what's going on, who can explain stuff. Yeah, but what about the pain and the struggle and what about Greg and anchoring into the sovereignty of God. Midwives in this room who says, hang on, we know where our hope is. We know what we anchor into. And God has a plan and a purpose for his church. You open up your arms. Isn't that the kind of church you want to be? That's exactly what God is calling you as New Day to be in this community.